along with Ken, has been one of his associates, Buddy Davis. Now, Buddy is an unbelievable character, and the emphasis should be on character because he is exactly that. He is an artist. He's a musician. He is a very talented sculptor. He is an amazing man to me. And I wanted to take a few moments to talk with Buddy about some of his activities in his association with Ken and with the Creation Museum and Answers in Genesis itself. Buddy, you have become very interested in dinosaurs. You now use your talent as a sculptor to bring these dinosaurs almost to life for the people who come to the Creation Museum.
For some unexplained reason, I became obsessed with dinosaurs almost overnight, and I wanted to read everything that I could learn about them. But when I first was interested, and even when I first started to sculpture the dinosaurs, I believed in millions of years. I believed in evolution. I was never told any different, even though I was saved. If I'd have died, I'd have went to heaven. But I was convinced that dinosaurs were millions and millions of years old. It was an insurance salesman that he came to my studio. He saw me working on the dinosaurs, and he says, asked me about some of the models. I think I was working on a Stegosaurus. And he was asking me about that, and I told him, I said, well, this Stegosaurus, he died during the Jurassic period about 140 million years ago. He says, Buddy, you're a Christian. He says, you know, there's another way of looking at that. He says, would you read some information if I give it to you? And it was from the Institute of Creation Research out of California. And I said, sure, I'll read it. And so he sent it to me and was on creation. Wow, it was like a drink in the desert. And I became so excited because, you know what? It made dinosaurs fit right into exactly what the Bible says. And certainly not millions and millions of years ago.
You know what's interesting to me, though, when you go into these museums across the world, you see these dinosaurs, or at least models of them, supposedly what they look like, supposedly millions and millions of years ago, and that's what the sign says. This dinosaur roamed the earth millions and maybe billions of years ago. Everybody tells us that the dinosaurs were prehistoric. Is that true, or when were dinosaurs actually brought into existence?
Actually, we have the history, don't we? We have the history, so it's not prehistoric. The Bible tells us God's the creator. He's there from the beginning, and he tells us when he did all these things. When you dig up the bones, like some of the secular scientists will believe, and they're very intelligent people, are not disagreeing with that at all, but I think God's the most intelligent, and I believe his word, and it certainly doesn't say anything in Scripture about millions and millions of years old. I dig up dinosaur bones. In fact, I help lead dinosaur digs in Montana, Glendive, Montana, in the Badlands. I can promise you, whenever we dig up the bones, they do not come with a label on them that says, hi, I'm T-Rex, I'm 65 million years old. All that you find are the bones. And so that interpretation of them being millions of years old comes from the mind of men. But if you use God's word, God gives us the genealogies in the Bible. So-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, not to put us to sleep at night so that we could trace back our ancestors to a literal man and a literal woman. That comes to just thousands of years ago, about 6,000 years ago. And man was created on day six. Guess what? All the land animals were created on day six, too. Were dinosaurs land animals? Absolutely. So when would dinosaurs have been created? According to Scripture, using God's word as the authority, not the opinion of man, dinosaurs would have been created on day number six of creation week about 6,000 years ago. That's what I believe.
Well, you know, then, if that be the case, there were dinosaurs at the time of Adam and Eve. Is that right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure would have been. There have been dinosaurs at the time of Adam and Eve, and there have been some other creatures, too, that's often associated with dinosaurs, and that be your pterodactyls, which are not dinosaurs, they're pterodactyls, and some of the swimming creatures that were created the day before, on day number five, things like your plesiosaurs, your chronosaurs, and the fish of the sea. So, you know, it's certainly not millions and millions of years old. You don't get that from Scripture. It's hard for me to believe in this modern age where we're living. Does this sound like something that God would do? Because for years, people believed that God did it in 6 days. That's what people believed for years. And just a couple hundred years ago, we started to get this idea that the earth is real old and just given enough time, enough millions of years. But you don't get that out of Scripture. Now, does it seem like God would write Genesis in a way that would confuse people so people would be wrong about creation for all these thousands of years, and then just within the last 200 years, wow, the light bulb has been turned on, now we know what God really meant to say? I don't think so. God's not the author of confusion.
I remember reading the other day in the book of Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, and he seemingly is describing a dinosaur laying there in the Jordan River just outside of Jerusalem. They were to be the example of God's creation, the greatest animals ever created in all of time.
Yep. You're talking about behemoth in Job chapter 40, starting with verse 15. And for years, people believed it's a big, huge creature. And sadly, some of the Bible commentaries started to say that behemoth, they realize it's a big creature, probably an elephant, probably a hippopotamus. But God is describing this creature that does not fit the description of an elephant or hippopotamus. For one thing, he says that it has bones like bars of iron. It has a tail like a cedar tree. A cedar tree is a pretty big tree. I build life-size dinosaurs, and before I start to sculpture my dinosaur, when I can, I go to the museum and I measure the bones. Sometimes my head will only come to the creature's knee, and some dinosaurs will tower way on up above me. The length of some dinosaurs can be 80, even over 100 feet long. And God's word says that this creature is chief in the ways of God. Well, these commentaries, it says that they believe that it's an elephant or hippopotamus. A big bull African elephant weighs about 7 tons. A large hippopotamus weighs about 3.5 tons. An average-sized sauropod dinosaur, what boys and girls would call the long-necked dinosaurs, they weigh any place from 20 to 40 tons, and some of them maybe even more. Now, standing side by side, which one of these is going to be chief in the ways of God? Is it going to be a 3-ton hippo? Is it going to be a 7-ton elephant or a 20-ton dinosaur? Chief in the ways of God. And all this information, God goes out, he describes behemoth more than if he'd be describing a horse or an oxen in the Bible. And I think it's a clear picture that it's some type of huge creature, certainly fits a description of what we'd call a sauropod dinosaur today.
Were dinosaurs involved in the animals that went into the ark with Noah and his family?
The Bible says two of every kind of land animal went on board the ark. So absolutely, they'd been on the ark. Yeah, I doubt, although the ark was big enough for the huge dinosaurs, it would made more sense to take younger animals. Younger animals old enough to reproduce would live longer after the flood is over. Younger animals are easier to care for than a great big animal. I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect it would have been younger dinosaurs that would have been taken aboard the ark. So absolutely. And so there's only about 50 different kinds of dinosaurs, thousands of names of dinosaurs, but it breaks down to about 50 kinds. How many of each kind needed to go aboard the ark? Only two of every kind. And then when dinosaurs came off the ark, nobody would have called them dinosaurs back then, because the word dinosaur wasn't even invented. The word dinosaur wasn't invented until 1841 by a man by the name of Sir Richard Owen. The word dinosaur means terrible lizards. So when dinosaurs would have come off the ark, people would have, they'd been thought of just that, just some type of huge reptile. And eventually, the dragon legends that we hear about would no doubt fit in very well with some of the dinosaurs. Now, we've been told in our modern time, there's not such a thing as dragons. Dragons is just made up. But the Bible talks about dragons. Does God lie? Absolutely not. In fact, and the Bible talks about dragons over 20 different times. And you look at some of the ancient dragon drawings and stuff, a lot of them look an awful lot like we'd make dinosaurs look today. I'm convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that the dragon legends and dinosaurs fit together very well. In a modern time, we started to call them dinosaurs. But remember again, the word dinosaur is a new word invented when? 1841 by a man by the name of Sir Richard Owen.
All right, tell me what happened to these large, terrible lizards, or as we refer to them today, dinosaurs. What happened to them?
There's a number of reasons that animals become extinct. We lose animals every day on this planet. There's something that goes extinct. No doubt after the flood, the habitat changed greatly from what the pre-flood animals were used to. Probably the dinosaurs were not as successful as what they would have been in the pre-flood world, and so eventually they started to die out. The ones that lived for a while again became known as the dragon legends that we hear about. We hear of night slain dragons. No doubt there's what do we do today when there's an animal that's dangerous to human beings? People are the smartest. They know how to handle that problem. So if you had a reptile that was a menace and scaring society, no doubt that there was dragon slayers, people would go out and kill these beasts so that to protect their villages or protect their farmland or whatever, and some of them would have just maybe they just became extinct, like animals become extinct all the time. So it's really no mystery.
They are absolute solid evidence of how God, in his plan, brought everything into existence, and he wanted to demonstrate to the world the greatness of creation. He used the dinosaur to do that.
Here's one of the reasons I like doing it so much, and I have such a passion for what I believe in so strongly. Dinosaurs are used more than any other animal to cause young people and old alike to believe in millions of years in evolution. When most people go to a museum and they see the skeleton of a dinosaur, what do they think of? They think of an animal that lived and died millions of years ago. And secular science has taught some folks that if you believe put enough millions of years in something, evolution is going to take place. I don't care how many millions of years you have. Nobody would think that it happened by accident. I build dinosaurs out of fiberglass, most of my models. And somebody sees one of my dinosaurs that's made out of fiberglass, they say, "Wow, buddy, that's really good. How did you make that dinosaur?" "Oh, I didn't make that. Didn't you hear that there's an explosion in a fiberglass factory millions of years ago, and there it is?" Nobody would believe that, because my dinosaur shows evidence of design. Yet my dinosaur doesn't do anything. But these same people that will see that it's obvious that I made this one out of fiberglass will look at the bones of a real animal that had a heart that would really beat, had eyes that could really see, had a mind that could think, had blood that went through its veins, had muscles that would work, and then if it became injured, it would fix itself again. They look at that and they said, "That happened by chance." You see how that just doesn't make a lick of sense, does it? It's everything that we see shows evidence that the hand of God has done this, and that's why God, I really believe, says they are without excuse. We're living in a world today where there's no excuse to believe that things happen by time, matter, and chance. We have an awesome God, and who's all-powerful, who can speak things into existence, and that's what I want to tell boys and girls and moms and dads, that we can trust the Bible hook, line, and sinker, need not apologize for what the Word of God says.
And Buddy Davis is doing exactly that. He's traveling across this world to many different locations, doing concerts, speaking, showing his dinosaurs off. He is a living testimony of when you get excited about what God's Word says, you can get excited about letting others know about it and helping them come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as well. Buddy, thank you so very much. I appreciate the time you could take. I appreciate your ministry. And Buddy, keep on keeping on.
Jimmy, I planned on just that. I appreciate getting to know you so much. You have been a blessing to me.